Hello, and welcome. Welcome once again to the Start, Scale, and Succeed podcast, the only podcast that grows with you through all seven stages of your journey as a founder. And there is one, I would say, very, very big challenge that almost every founder who's a service provider, a coach, a creative, or we all have to face this. And it is that to sell your service is to some extent to sell you. And to be able to do that well, to sell more of your services, to make the impact that you got into the game to make, you have to be able to believe and act like you believe that you are the best thing for them. And that's a lot easier said than done, especially at the beginning of the process, because you're going to hear more no's and more not yets in the first couple of years of your business than most people would in a couple of lifetimes. And so here to help us establish the right mindset for our success and the success of our clients, because these go hand in hand, is Chris Marr. Now, Chris is the founder of The Authoritative Coach. He's also the author of Become an Authoritative Coach, Stop People Pleasing, Challenge Your Clients, and Be Indispensable. With over 15 years of experience, Chris has helped client-facing professionals worldwide, from small businesses to enterprises with nine-figure revenues, to build stronger client relationships, navigate challenging conversations, and position themselves as indispensable experts. He created the People Pleaser's Path to Authority Assessment, a tool that helps professionals identify and break habits holding them back. And he's here with us today. Chris, thanks so much for being here. So excited to have you on the show. Loved the book. There's a couple points in here I want to unpack. In particular, one of the hardest lessons I learned, but biggest revelations that I gained, was something that you call the prize and being the prize. And I'm gonna leave it that. I'm gonna open it up. And what is the prize? And why does it matter for a coach on their way to becoming an authoritative coach?
Yeah. Great question. I don't think I've covered this in detail when I've talked to people before. So thanks for having me and thanks for asking that question. This idea, I think the best way to think about it, the visual representation of this, there's many points, but visually think about this idea that the grass is greener on the other side. I think everyone's heard that phrase before. And I use it in the book to describe this idea that, like, if your clients feel like, if your prospects and your clients feel like they can own you too easily, then they take you for granted. And so this idea is like, you're the greener grass and you don't want to let them feel like they own you or can get a hold of you really easily just because they can pay the money or they can say, hey, Scott, I'm going to pay you money and you're going to do this thing for me. And what we're saying is, what we want to do is introduce like an element of like the chase in this relationship so that the client actually has to work a little bit harder to get you and therefore actually appreciate you and they don't take you for granted. So there's this idea of like respect and control and influence in here. I think there's many points we'll make today. I think that'll make this sound palatable, or like there might be people pushing back on this idea already that we're trying to be rude to people or we're trying to deliberately aggravate people or frustrate people in the sales process. But I think you can look at anything in life where someone has been given something without having to work for it and they don't treat it well. Like you get a company car, you don't look after it. You know, you get things that are given to you and you don't look after them. And I think this is like, when I think about the prize, I think about making this idea that your prospects have to work to achieve, to get the prize. There's something that they have to do. The other way to think about this other visual representation here is like America's Got Talent or Britain's Got Talent or this X Factor where people have to audition to be a part of your program. And so the mindset shift here and the way that you approach your whole sales process and ultimately your actual, all your work entirely is that if you were a prospect of mine, Scott, I would be asking you questions and getting you to convince me why I should work with you and not spend my time just vomiting on you about why you should work with me.
Yeah.
Right. And so there's this idea, there's this like concept or this idea in your mind that there's a gap there and you want the prospect to work to achieve, to prove to you, to audition for you that they're going to be a good fit for you.
Yeah.
That's the concept. I hope that sort of creates a picture at least.
It's huge. And as you're saying it, you're feeling it. As you're saying it, I'm feeling it. As you're saying it, other people are feeling it. Like, that's not like, That's not the good, I'll say it this way, it's not the good Christian thing to do. Work with a bunch of folks in Canada. It's not the good Canadian thing to do, right?
Right.
It's, there's folks listening from Australia. It's not the good Australian thing to do. Like, that's a little... Yeah. It's a little more palatable here in the U.S. because we like to think too highly of ourselves and BS our way through. But even here in the U.S., there's this sense of like, that's arrogant. That's, you know, we run into tall poppy syndrome. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, there's this sense of if I think too highly of myself, that's, and it's rude, it's arrogant, it's, I'm going to be let down, I'm going to let people down. What would you say to someone that's feeling those negative feelings as they're listening to this saying like, I don't know that I see myself as the prize. I don't even know that I want to see myself as the prize. What's the cost of that?
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of a flurry of thoughts here. So let's see if we can get our arms around this. This idea, number one is fit, right? If you're a consultant or a coach like we are, you might have a small team, but generally speaking, you just cannot take on every single client. We all know and have felt and experienced the bad fit clients, the resentment, the challenge, like we don't want that. So you can't work with everybody anyway. And you don't necessarily want to work with everybody either. So you can't and you don't and you shouldn't. Okay. So this idea is like, the first thing is you've got to play this role of discovering fit. And ultimately in the relationship between you and the prospect, you're the expert understanding what it takes to be successful in the work they were about to do. How could the client possibly know that? How could the prospect know that? So your job is really, you've got to uncover fit, the red flags, the green flags, the things that tell you they're going to be a good fit, the things that tell you they're going to be a bad fit, or there's going to be problems. So I think the first thing is like, you need to figure out if the relationship's going to take hold there from the very start. And secondly, the prospect does, like I've seen this in sales calls with coaches and consultants before, they'll be like, yeah, this is... And just so you know, it's not going to feel like, it's not going to look like this when we work together, Scott. And you're like, they should already have a sense and a feeling about what it's going to feel like to work with you. You shouldn't have to tell them. They should already feel it. And so I think that part of this is about you being able to show the type of coach or consultant that you are actually from the very beginning.
Yes.
And to make sure that the client gets a real sense of that. So fit and relationship and what it's going to look like to work together. I think this idea of arrogance, though, is like, this is what the way I think about arrogance is that the ego is overpowering here, that you've got a high level of confidence, but it's sitting in your ego. In other words, I know what to do and I'm always right. That's kind of arrogance and ego. But I think those that are quietly confident in their skill set can be confident and competent without the ego, and they can say, I believe in myself and I know what to do and I know I can help you. And I think there's just a fine, like you said, there's a fine line between arrogance and confidence. And I think we want to be able to feel like we're confident in what we know and how we can help, and that we value ourselves. So there's a bit of an internal game to play here. And I'll say like one last thing here is like this idea that if you're not convicted and committed to your frameworks or your program or the solution that you provide, whatever it is, how could you expect a prospect to be like, they can only meet you, they can never be more confident than you are, right?
Yes.
So if, in other words, your prospects don't want to come and meet you to figure out if you've got a great solution for you, and then leave feeling more doubtful about it, right? And so your commitment and your conviction to your ideas has to be paramount, has to be at 100%.
Yeah.
If you want to convince other people and help other people feel, because they want to feel confident when they want to come to work with you as well. So, and I've learned this myself, it's like watching people who are so committed to their ideas and watching how inspiring it is to want to then be a part of that.
Yes.
It's very cool, right? That is so awesome to see. And so it is about prizing yourself and valuing yourself. So those are the types of things I think about this idea. And I think there's one final thing, which is like this, I call it the willing to walk away principle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who's got the leverage here, right? If you're an expert or consultant, literally the only card you have to play is your expertise. I'm either going to give it to you or I'm going to take it away. And
right.
You don't have much leverage. So if you are desperate to make the sale or you have to close this account and get that money in, the client's got more leverage than you. And you don't have any power in that frame at all. And I think that's a problem, because then we become desperate, people pleasing, and we start to discount our services, and then we start to kind of chip away at our authority and our confidence as well. So yeah. It was a flurry of thoughts, but those are the kind of things that kind of, that there's not, it's not just one thing, is it? It's kind of, that's all in there. It's all in this idea of like mindset, how you turn up, how you're perceived by the other, all comes through these, the way you think, the way you behave, the questions you ask, how you turn up. You know, those are the things I think about a lot, Scott.
Hi there, this is Scott. Thank you so much for listening. We're going to get back to the show in just a few seconds, but first, I wanted to let you know about my brand new Founders Evolution Quiz. If you're a founder, business owner, or CEO who feels overworked by the business you lead and underwhelmed by the results you're getting, you're doing it wrong. Succeeding as a founder all comes down to doing the right one or two things for right now. So take the quiz today at founderskiz.com. Again, that's founderskiz.com. And in just 10 questions, you can figure out what stage you're in so you can focus on what's going to work and say goodbye to everything else. Now, back to the show. So there's, I would go so far as to call it a dirty little secret in the coaching world. And that is that the more you pay for coaching, the more you get out of it. And it's another version of this exact same thing that we're talking about, because If in a sales process, I can create so much confidence that someone is willing to pay $10,000 and someone else comes along and they're only, you know, they only create enough confidence that the prospect is going to pay $1,000, right? It might be the exact same service. You might walk them through the exact same process, but the more folks pay, the more they commit, the more they drive after it, and the more results they get. And so a big part of that, let's take the money side out of it for a second and go back to this point that you made about the internal game and how, so someone's listening to that. They're bought in. Shoot, that's what I did wrong. But I've got bills to pay. I am desperate. I do need the next one. I've heard a lot of people say no to me. I'm questioning myself. How do we turn that cycle around? And even before we have all of the quote unquote leverage, right? Before we have the full schedule and we can easily say no, what would your advice be to someone in that moment who's just trying to kickstart this cycle and get it turned in the right direction?
Yeah. And I get that. Like, I don't want to just wash over that. Like, this is easy, right? It's not, you're going to have a lot of conflict in yourself. Number one is the initial thing that comes to me is like, but if you're a solo, especially, you need to do things that help you feel more confident, right? So what are, if you're sitting there and you're like, what's one thing you could do today that would help you feel more confident about what you've got to offer the world, right? So that could be a conversation. You could write an article. There's lots of things you can do. In other words, vote for yourself. Like, what does it look like to get behind your own ideas? Start conversations with people. Go meet someone for coffee and share your ideas with them. See if they are influenced by them in some way. And so I think there's like a small, I think it's like just this idea that you need to be the one that engineers your own confidence, right? So there's just like lean into that and move yourself towards it. And sometimes we need someone from the outside to help us with that. That's kind of part of our job. I would say this though, and this is the bigger idea that might feel a bit like you can't get your arms around it. There's an inverse relationship where there's an inverse idea here, which is that the more desperate you are to close the deal, the more likely it is to slip away. Mm-hmm. And the more you prize yourself, the client's actually drawn towards you. And it's like, there's, you feel like you want to make a discount so you get the client because you need the money. And it's actually, that's the reason why they won't pay you any money. It's the reason why they ghost you after the sale. And the truth is like, if you try, you've got to get, it's that inverse relationship. It's like, you have to do the work you feel really uncomfortable about. You have to be willing to walk away for the client to feel like they want to come into your world. And it's, I know that that's like a conceptually maybe quite difficult to get your head around, but that's certainly what I've seen in the past is like, you have to attract, they have to want to come into your world, and they're not going to come into your world if they don't feel confident about the arrangement or the way that you're coming across. So.
I love that. And I want to draw out something that I think is really important in that point. And one is, you said be more confident. That is not be more competent. Because here's what I see a lot of coaches do. They feel that pain and they go get another certification, right? Or they go study another article. And what I found is that actually makes it worse, because the more you know you don't know, and the less confident you feel in the short run. So,
okay.
Right? And I'd be interested to see if you see that as well. But I think confident is absolutely the right word. Do what makes you feel more confident, not what makes you feel more competent. Would you agree?
I do agree with what you're saying in this moment. Yes. I do think that more confidence comes through an increase in competence.
Right.
Now, what I think the nuance here is, like, how do you become more competent? And I would argue that sometimes it's education. But for most people, the gap is they feel like an imposter, right? There's this imposter syndrome gap. But what they need to do is they just need to have more conversations. They need to take what they already know and get the actual reps in. So it's less about reading another book, doing another course, and it's actually about doing the work that you actually need to do. So it's taking action. So that's where I think 100%. The nuance is there. It's the reps.
100%. It's pick up the phone and make the next call. And I think to take that one step further, and I think this is what you're saying, is one of the things that you can do to feel the most confident and least desperate on a sales call is to have another sales call waiting for you.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. So if you only have one and you have to sell that one, otherwise you don't eat next week, right? Just being a little extreme, but you're going to be desperate to close it. You're going to do anything that you can. And in a coach, there's nothing more that puts you off further than a desperate coach. It's the worst way to sell. But if you have another sales call and another sales call and another sales call, one of them's going to land, right? And I think to me, that's probably the thing that we could do to kickstart our confidence the most.
Yeah. And I think this can be anything. So there's two things I would say here. One is, like, even if you don't have another sales call lined up, you have to believe there is another one coming.
Yes.
Like, that's like what we'd call like an abundance mindset, right? Mm-hmm. It's just this belief that the future is going to be better than your past, that your best work is actually ahead of you and not behind you. And those are the types, I think about these things all the time, because I'm just like everybody else. I go into dips and I come out, and you know, it's all of this stuff. So I think just your self-belief matters so much when you're building your own thing, that you believe that it's possible for you to build something on your own terms. It's possible for you to get better clients in the future. It's possible that you're going to be able to make more money in the future, that you're not going to, like, I think if you think about it, like, from a logic perspective, if you're in your mid-40s like I am, it's like, am I going to be unemployed for the rest of my life? No, of course I'm not going to be. I'm going to get work. You know, it's going to happen. So, you know, I think having that abundance mindset is really important. I would say this as well.
Absolutely.
Even if you don't have those sales calls in, that doesn't mean you cannot have sales conversations with people. You need to just get into the DMs on LinkedIn. You need to message people on Instagram. You need to go meet people for coffee. Find excuses to talk to people and figure out what the problems are and see if there's something you can do to work together. And a simple phrase I use sometimes is, like, what would it look like if you and I were to work on that together?
Yeah.
And it just get yourself into those conversations. So we're back to this idea of voting for yourself, right?
Yes.
Putting yourself into a place where it's possible.
Fantastic. Oh, so good.
Love
Chris,
it.
I've got one more question for you here, and then I want to make sure folks know how they can get a copy of your book and get in touch with you. So before we get there, what would you say is the biggest secret that you wish wasn't a secret at all? What's that one thing you wish everybody watching or listening today knew?
Yeah. You've got to, so this might sound a little like a platitude, but you've got to believe in the way that you think and see the world. I think a lot of people think they have to be like a certain person or a certain way or a certain type of professional. But the way that you see a problem, or the way that you think through a solution for a client, the way your brain works, the way you see it, that's your unique value that you bring. And so I would say to people, just embrace the way that you think and see problems and solutions. And don't filter it. That is what's going to attract the right people to want to work with you. That's what I found for me. And I think I don't know that anybody really talks about it. And I think it comes back to just being you, like, 100% through. That's what you bring. And if I'm too loud and I'm too fast and it's too much, then you're not for me. And that's cool, because there's people that actually want that, you know? So I think trying to be your like who you are is really critical and really key to getting the right people to work with you.
So good. So good. Yeah. Chris, there's folks listening to this. They want to get a copy of the book. They want to find out how they can work with you or just learn more. Where can they do that?
Yeah, so theauthoritativecoach.com, you get the book there and a few other bits and pieces you'll be able to scroll around on the website. And then I think the best place for people to come and interact with me is Instagram at theauthoritativecoach, and you'll get all my reels and videos. You can even DM me there if you want to talk about something that you see there. So I'm pretty accessible on Instagram.
Fantastic. Fantastic. The name of that book again is Become an Authoritative Coach. Stop people pleasing, challenge your clients, and be indispensable. And having read it, even if you're not a coach, but you find yourself struggling with anything that we talked about here today, the mindset stuff in there, just practical steps are going to help a ton of people. I highly recommend it. Chris, thanks for being on the show. It was a privilege and honor having you here today. For those of you watching and listening, you know that your time and attention mean the world to us. I hope you got as much out of this conversation as I know I did, and I cannot wait to see you next time. Take care. Scott Ritzheimer here. Thank you so much for listening to the Start, Scale, and Succeed podcast. I hope this episode gave you exactly what you need for your stage right now. If you want to discover what stage you're in, take our 10-question Founders Evolution quiz for free at founderskiz.com. That's founderskiz.com. It'll pinpoint exactly where you are and give you tailored tips to move forward and reach that next level in your journey as a founder. If you got something out of today's episode, would you do us a favor and share it on social media? Just grab a quick screenshot on your phone, text it to a friend, or post it on your favorite platform. Tag us and use hashtag StartScaleSucceed. I'd love to see your posts. You can also head over to scalearchitects.com/podcast to check out more episodes tagged by your stage so you can focus on what matters most right now. Don't forget, subscribe, rate, review. It helps us to reach more founders like you, and it means a ton to me and my team. So let's keep starting, scaling, and succeeding together. I'll see you in the next episode.